Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's September the 15th, 2014. September the 15th, 2014. And it has been hot, hot, and I do mean hot. What a weekend we have with this heat and this weather. Fires everywhere. We're going to talk about it just for a minute. We're going to have a short news update. We have some very, very interesting topics. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio. Matter of fact, I just want to give a shout-out to the people who helped to keep this thing going. I want to give a shout-out to Pearl and Greg Hanley and all my Dorsey family, all my Gardens family, all my Facebook family, all my Twitter family, and all my family and my biological family. God bless you all, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Keep on doing what you're doing. God is with us. What a week of heat. Not only heat, but also heat in the NFL. Heat in the NFL. It's been a very, very, everybody knows what's going on with the NFL right now. I mean, they want the commissioner, Roger Goodell, to resign. They want him fired. But they think that he has something to do with the scandal that has to do with Ray Rice. Now, we know that people cover up stuff all the time, but they want to know, did he get that tape before all this stuff hit the fan on TMZ? So we're looking at NFL players that have been suspended or taken off the active list or that's been deactivated. So far we have four NFL players who just all happen to be African-American or black, if you want to say it like that. All of them right now are on suspension or terminated, okay? Here's the names. You know Ray Rice, Baltimore Ravens. You know Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings. Greg Hardy, and also the 49ers, Ray McDonald. So right now we have a domestic violence problem, so they say, in the NFL. Well, there's lots of ways to address it. Well, one of the ways is maybe they should hire someone that can handle, teaching domestic violence classes within the NFL, and somebody that can come in there and help out. If you have a problem, let's deal with it. But, I think the media is really blowing it out of proportion, and I think the media is really playing on the fact that they're African-American, and I think the media, and this is what the media does. And you know, I got to tell you something. Somebody's going to sue TMZ one day. I hope it's Ray Rice. I hope he sues the pants off of TMZ. I'm sure they paid a lot of money to get that tape and then put it all over television. And it just has really put a mark on his wife and him as well. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't be suspended. Yes, he should be suspended, but not forever. Okay, everybody makes mistakes. If there's anybody out there that's free of sin, please be the first one to cast a stone. Because everybody, and I do mean every human being that lives on the planet Earth, makes a mistake. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how intelligent you are. I don't care how sophisticated and taboo you may be. You're going to make a mistake. And when you do, you just hope and pray that TMZ doesn't get it. Because if they do, you're going on the news. Okay? Look, I wanted to start the show off with something special. A friend of mine named Mike Williams, He does all kinds of music. He's a DJ. I've been knowing him since, forever at high school over at Dorsey. But he made this CD for me, so I wanted to play it for you guys. I'll be right back. I hope you have your coffee, your tea, your orange juice. Let me give you the topics this morning. We're going to be speaking to a wonderful lady. Her name is Odessa M. Curry, Lindsay, and she is over in the Meadowbrook Apartments. The Meadowbrook Apartments in San Bernardino, California, where the owner who owns the building was getting the building refurbished, and while he's doing it, he wanted to kick everybody out of the building. We're talking about people with cancer. We're talking about people with mental illness. We're talking about people who are veterans. We're talking about people who are senior citizens who have paid their dues. He wanted to kick them out on the street. Let's find out what really happens, okay? So that's going to be one of our guests. Another guest we're going to have is Mr. Jonathan B. Now, Jonathan is a veteran of the United States of America. He has served our military, and we're also going to have Dennis Matthews. He also, too, is a veteran. So we're going to be talking about veterans from 10 to 11. From 9 to 10, we're going to talk about eminent domain, people getting kicked out their apartments, what you can do to stop these people from abusing you when you're paying your rent on time or whatever. Some people just don't care. You know, where are we these days in 2014 where people just don't care, where they want to just kick you out on the streets, and they don't even have a reason why? Well, anyway, we're going to talk about that. So get your pens and your papers out. Get your orange juice, your coffee, your tea, your milkshake, your protein drink, your vitamins, whatever you do to get your Monday morning started. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio. By the way, if you want to call in, you can dial 323-642-1569. If you want to call in and chime in on anything we're discussing, 323-642-1569. Now, if you want to go online and you're already on your phone and you want to go online, you can just go to blogtalkradio.com, go to Faces of Success Radio, click on that, and then click on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and you'll be in online. We're also going to, you know, this is Cancer Awareness Month, September. So I'm looking forward to getting a call in from some callers about cancer. So we might just slip in a couple of great announcements about what's going on with cancer awareness, just as a brief, you know, because we talked about that a week and a half ago. And I just, you know, this is the month to talk about it because it's a reality. It's affecting our community. But I'm going to take a short pause for the cause while we're warming up. You know, we're on from now until 11 a.m. Get your coffee and tea and your orange juice ready. You're on the Faces of Success Radio, the Eddie Jones Talk Show. This is a dedication from my friend Mike B. You just might want to listen in for a minute, and you just might get a little something out of this.
Before we get started, I'd like to give a special thanks to a very dear friend of mine. I've had the pleasure of knowing 35 years. I've watched this man serve his community, not only as a pastor, but a civil rights activist. So, Eddie Jones, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your hard work and also for giving me the opportunity to present this for your radio show. I hope your listeners enjoy the presentation.
My dear fellow clergymen, while confined here in the Birmingham City Jail, I came across your recent statement calling my present activities unwise and untimely. Seldom do I pause to answer such criticism of my work and ideas, but since I feel that you are men of genuine will, that your criticisms are sincerely set forth, I want to try to answer your statements in what I hope will be patient and reasonable terms. I think I should indicate why I am here in Birmingham, since you have been influenced by the view which argues against the outsiders coming in. I have the honor of serving as president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, an organization operating in every southern state with headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia. Several months ago, the affiliate here in Birmingham asked us to be on call to engage in a nonviolent direct action program if such were deemed necessary. We readily consented, and when the hour came, we lived up to our promise. But more basically, I'm in Birmingham because injustice is here. Moreover, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of community, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow, provincial, outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its boundaries. We deplore the demonstrations taking place in Birmingham, but your statement, I am sorry to say, fails to express a similar concern for the conditions that brought about the demonstrations. I am sure that none of you would want to rest content with the superficial kind of social analysis that deals merely with effects and does not grapple with underlying causes. It is unfortunate the demonstrations are taking place in Birmingham. But it is even more unfortunate that the city's white power structure kept the Negro communities with no alternatives. In any nonviolent campaign, there are four basic steps. Collection of facts to determine whether injustices exist, negotiations, self-purification, and direct action. We have gone through all these steps in Birmingham. There can be no gainsaying the fact that racial injustice engulfs this community. Birmingham is probably the most thoroughly segregated city in the United States. Its ugly record of brutality is widely known. Negroes have experienced grossly unjust treatment in the courts. There have been more unsolved bombings of Negro homes and churches in Birmingham than in any other city in the nation. These are the hard, brutal facts of the case. On the basis of these conditions, Negro leaders sought to negotiate with the city founders, but the latter consistently refused to engage in good faith negotiation. Then last September came the opportunity to talk with leaders of Birmingham's economic community. In the course of the negotiations, certain promises were made by the merchants. For example, to remove the store's humiliating racial signs. On the basis of these promises, the Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, the leaders of the Alabama Christian Movement for Human Rights, agreed to a moratorium on all demonstrations.
You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show. And I wanted to thank my good friend Michael Williams from Susan Miller Dorsey High School that I've been acquainted with for many, many years. He's put together some CDs for me that have some great speeches. Now, what you just listened to was a letter that Dr. Martin Luther King wrote. Dr. Martin Luther King wrote that letter while he was incarcerated in jail for marching when he was in Alabama. And he was talking about the civil rights movement and the purification of the movement of the people. Well, now that's why we're going to talk about a little bit about eminent domain. I know I have some callers on the phone, and I want to do a special shout out right now. If you could just bear with me here while we – caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, Brother Freddie?
Hey, Brother Eddie. Good morning. Good morning to you and all your listeners.
You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. You are the president and CEO of the Men's Cancer Network, and you're giving a big event coming up. Talk to us about it. Give us some information.
Well, thank you, Eddie. I appreciate that. Okay, so September, as we all know, is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. And so we are putting on an event to highlight or raise the bar on the awareness of prostate cancer. Prostate cancer affects men only. Our target group is men ages 40 and over. And this is a deadly disease, Eddie. It's affecting thousands of our men.
You're raising awareness by giving an event that's coming up this month. Could you tell us about the event and give us the date, the time, the place, and the phone number we can call to get tickets?
Okay, got you. Okay, so the event is scheduled for Saturday, this coming Saturday, September 20th, at the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center in Leimert Park in Los Angeles. Tickets are available for $25, $30 at the door. The event hours are from 10 to 3, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and the number to call for tickets is 213-909-7159.
Okay, now could you give them your website so they can look at your website also?
Of course, and thank you for asking. Our website is www.themenscancernetwork.com. We also have a Facebook page, Prostate Cancer Awareness Benefit Rally in Concert. On Facebook, check that page as well. You can click on going to the event and purchase your tickets from that site as well.
Okay, so once they go on the Men's Cancer Network page, then they can see everything else that you're talking about, the event, the phone number, and any other information they might need to get in contact with you, right?
That is true. I might heavily suggest that they click on the calendar of events link. That's the one that shows all of our events and all of our programs.
Okay. Now, also, too, you sell T-shirts. You have the Men's Cancer Network T-shirts, right? Are you going to have them at your event?
Yes, we will, Eddie. We are selling T-shirts as a fundraiser for this event. This is a fundraising event, and we kindly ask for your support.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. I hope you don't stop listening. I hope you continue to listen because this is really interesting. And please tell a friend and share it with all your friends on Facebook and your Google Mail and all that good stuff, Yahoo Mail. I really appreciate you coming on this morning, Freddie, and I look forward to coming to the event and participating at the event.
Well, thank you, Eddie. Thank you. And also, I want to congratulate you on your new distinction of Pastor Eddie Jones. That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Well, it didn't happen overnight. You know, I ran from it like Jonah did, you know. and I still, every day I have to pray, you know, and ask God to, you know, continue to guide me and order my steps. So I thank you so much. And, you know, it's a serious job.
It is. But you're being wonderful at it, and I thank you so much and for your civil rights work. You're doing some wonderful work out there, Eddie. Continue what you're doing, man. God is going to bless you for that.
Man, thank you, Brother Freddie, and I commend you for the work and the information that you're sharing to help people get knowledge and education on prostate cancer, which is one of the most serious diseases in the world.
It is.
Really serious. So I want to thank
it
you
is.
Again, and I look forward to coming down to the show, supporting and participating.
Okay, we appreciate it. Again, that's on the corner of 43rd and Degnan Boulevard in Summer Park.
All right, thank you so much. God bless you, Freddie. Hey, everybody out there, that's Freddie, and he is the president and CEO of the Men's Cancer Network. The Men's Cancer Network. We have a guest. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Is this Miss Odessa Curry, Lindsay?
Yes, it is. How are you, Pastor Jones?
Fine. Welcome to the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. Do you have all your wonderful coffee ready, or your tea, or what are you having this morning?
I'm having coffee. I already had my oatmeal, and I'm having my coffee while I'm talking to you.
Well, that's beautiful. I'm having my coffee also, so we're on the same page. Now, we're talking about a very – first of all, welcome to the show. And,
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy that you came on this morning because this discussion that we're about to talk about is probably happening all over the United States.
It definitely is.
And some people do not have a clue of what to do when they get in a situation such as someone kicking them out of their place where they live at, putting them out on the streets without warning, violating their, you know, because tenants have rights, right?
Right, they do. They really do.
So why don't you talk a little bit about what happened at the Meadowbrooks, how I played a role and how we all played a role in fighting for the people.
Well, first of all, I thank you so much for inviting me to talk about something that most people are scared to venture out into, and that's about exercising your rights as a U.S. citizen. I think, can I pray? Because this is, God is so good in my life to have anointed me to be aware of what's going on in the different places I've been, to exercise our rights as citizens to be involved in serving the people as our rights. I just want to give a little shout out to God this morning for his blessings.
You know what? As a pastor, it would be wrong if I did not allow you to pray. Please pray. We need some prayer, okay? We need prayer with everything that's going on around us right now. So please, by all means, say a prayer. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and everybody out there, if you haven't said your prayers this morning, here we go right now. Go ahead, Miss Odessa.
In the name of Jesus, let's give honor by bowing our heads and closing our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love and your grace this morning, oh God, to give me a place to vent and to show people that there's a way and there's a will in Christ to exercise your rights in this United States, oh God. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, and we pray that everyone who's listening can get an earful and a mouthful to speak out against injustice, oh God. And we thank you again for your love and your grace. Through your son Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. And I pray that that touches everybody across wherever you are. If you're in Sacramento, Las Vegas, Texas, Chicago, Detroit, Alabama, Georgia, wherever you are, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., and for those who are listening abroad, out of the country, God bless you wherever you are, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, all you say and do, may God bless you. So, Miss Odessa, now, this owner, what's the owner's name of the Meadowbrook Apartments?
It's a agency called Affordable Housing Management, and they're out of Tennessee.
Okay, and the guy's name that runs the business there, I know there's two owners, and we met with both of them, but what are their names again?
Well, the only one that I actually know is Keith Actins, and he is the manager for the properties for affordable housing management. And he's the one that has been the forefront about what's going on with the mental books so far.
Now, let me just touch on something here. I first received a phone call from Pastor Braxton. Was it in the beginning of 2012?
Yes, I believe so. It might have been the middle of it, because it was September when we received that that letter, September 1st, the resident received that letter.
Around that time, on 2012, I received a phone call from Pastor Braxton, God bless his heart, and he said, we have a problem in our community over at the Meadowbrook Apartments. Now, what's the name of Pastor Braxton's church?
True Vine. That's my church, too. True Vine.
Yes, True Vine. And so I heeded to the call, and I came to the meeting, which you guys are having your community meetings on Thursdays, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I came over, and the room was completely full with the tenants from the Meadowbrook building. I'm going to let you go from there, so you go right ahead and share a little bit of the story.
Okay. Well, when you came over, I think most of the tenants, the ones that don't know their rights, were very scared. You know, these are people that are veterans, are disabled, and really didn't know their rights. So when you came, you pulled together a conglomerate of tenants that did know their rights and was willing to fight for the people. And we had a party of 10, and we called this the Tenant Board Committee. And we met at the law library every Friday until we got everything ready to send letters to HUD. So we went on September 16th. By the 16th, we wrote up a letter, and we wrote it to Glenda Jakes, who was the project administrator for the U.S. Department of HUD downtown, Los Angeles branch. So we wrote her a letter, and that's what stopped the process of them putting everyone out. They gave us a letter September 23rd, retracting the 60-day notice that they gave us. But Ms. Jacobs never gave us a letter in writing saying what HUD was willing to do. So we did another letter March 14th. And sent her another letter. By then, Ms. Jakes had retired. Lord have mercy. And the new person that took her place was His name was Hill, Jamil Hill. We sent another letter, April, I think it was 21st, we sent another letter to Jamil Hill asking him to please come out or send someone in their department to talk with us about the situation. None of these letters was ever answered, Reverend Jones. None of these letters was ever answered by her.
Okay, now, Ms. Odessa, let me cut back. Now, when I first came to that first meeting, I'll never forget it as long as I live. The room was full with people, most of the tenants from the Meadowbrooks, some community members. And I remember that some people were upset and crying. Some people were fighting cancer. Some people were veterans. Some people were elderly. Some people were handicapped or disabled. And I said something standing there that day, that evening. I said, we are going to fight this until we get change. And then at that moment, we did start up an executive board, which consisted of you, Godfather Tough, Sister Carolyn, and the other board members. What was the one that works around law a lot? Mrs.
Dewey?
Miss Dewey. And we had a great executive board, and meeting over at the law library was very educational for all of us because we studied to show ourselves approved of how we could deal and combat this situation because the owner was giving everybody just 30 days to get out, and you can't do that. Now let's talk about how we stopped them from kicking everybody out in 30 days and how the 30 days was extended to, was it 120 days or 60 days?
Well, they're still there. It just stopped all the process whatsoever. Everything that they were trying to do to put all the tenants out, that stopped it. That first letter dated September 16th stopped all the action with affordable housing management. And
Now, Ms. Odessa, remember I said we got to do something to get somebody to listen to us. So we took myself and Pastor Braxton and the executive board, we took everyone from the Meadowbrooks over to the city council meeting in the city of San Bernardino. Do you remember that day?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. We did a couple of meetings there at the city council to let them know that this was happening in our own community and that it starts there. It starts there because these people couldn't have not got into San Bernardino without the council approval of backing them to purchase this particular building that's right here downtown San Bernardino.
Now, what people don't know is that at the same time they were trying to kick you out so they can redo the building, they were building a brand new courthouse right across the street from the Meadowbrook Apartments.
Had everything to do with why they came in the way they did. But it doesn't change that we have rights.
Exactly. Now, when we went to the city council meeting, and at the time it was Mayor Morris, and everybody spoke there, and then that's when Councilwoman Virginia Marquez, which we reached out to her, and we had her come to our Thursday night meeting, and she became to get involved with helping us. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, Ms. City Council Woman Marquez did come out, and she really been helpful to the Meadowbrook tenants there. And I believe I just thought about the fair, the housing fair that they put together. They had Ms. Marquez put that together for us, and it really went over okay, but I realized after the last 3 months that the fair was a hoax because no one was ever able to move out. This was about trying to get the tenants that was entitled to replacement housing to move out, and that's what they did. That was unfair to the tenants there.
Yes, and that was amazing because, you know, after fighting with the city council and getting the attention of the mayor and all the city council members, and by the way, you spoke eloquently at the city council meeting, as we all wanted to the best of our ability. I got to give a shout out to Don. He was very passionate about it. We had a good team of people, Godfather Tough, who went in there and shared with the city council very important information on how the rights of the tenants were being violated and what we could do to change that. Because a lot of people are being put out their apartments or their homes, and they don't know what to do. This talk show is about what to do when you get in that situation and the channels that we took to get change. Now, do you remember when I did the press conference and we had the newspaper to come out and we put this article about what was happening in the newspaper?
Yes, I do. I do remember that. I do remember that.
And the newspaper, what that did was everybody, when we went to the city council meeting, everybody saw it on the city council channel. So everybody in the city of San Bernardino found out that there was an owner of a building called the Meadowbrooks who was putting innocent people out on the streets without cause just for his growth and rehabilitation of his building so he can get people like attorneys and judges and lawyers to move in because the new courthouse is going on across the street. I would consider that eminent domain.
But it's not, because you can't put that type of thing on a building that's already for low income people. That's not how that works.
HUD has
a percentage on this building, and it's for low-income people. You can't change the face of community because that's what you want to do. You've been knowing when you bought that building, that was low-income people that was housed there. There's no eminent domain on low-income housing that's by the federal government. You can't do that.
Well, that's why I'm saying that the owner, Keith Acton, the manager or owner, He thought that he was going to be able to do it without the people ever making any noise about it. But once I came involved with you all and we all got together as a family and we created an executive board, we started to combat the problem by going to the law library and studying, by going to city council and speaking out, and by giving a press conference and getting the news involved along with the newspaper. And then, and only then, did we start to get change that we could believe in, that God blessed us with, because we kept on fighting and sticking together as a unit and combating the problem. I'd like to talk a little bit about the meeting when HUD came over with all these people and had everyone sign these documents saying that they were going to move them, and they ended up moving everybody next door to the Meadowbrook out in the further apartments outside the Meadowbrook building.
Well, these are the things that the letters requested of HUD to tell us, come out and tell us what we was entitled to. All this time, in the last, from September of 2013 till now, we have always asked what was our right. Were we entitled to move off property? If not, then where were we going to move? Were we moving into hotels or not? None of these things was answered, and this is the fault, and the ball dropped with HUD when they didn't answer all three of these letters that we sent them, answer these same questions. At this time, in the last 2 months, it made it very apparently when HUD allowed them to take me to court. How are you going to take someone to court that's entitled to a unit, whether it's a one
now,
or two bedroom?
Now, also, too, Ms. Odessa, they don't know that you're handicapped, so you are in a wheelchair, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
And so that means that you have rights that should never be violated. There's no way in God's green earth should you have to be taken to court. And I think that they wanted to attack you because you were on the executive board and you were an intelligent, intellectual woman who was helping all the people. You know, we were all working together, but you were like one of the good leaders who were really helping out a lot. So could you tell me, tell everybody out there what makes your rights different if you're handicapped or disabled?
Is that the government has put in place in their rules and regulations that anytime a disabled person is in your building or complex, once the doctor signed a letter requesting for accommodation, they must adhere to it. It's not so much if yes, I can or no, I can't, but yes, you can and yes, you should, because under HUD, those rules are already in stone for disabled people to have commendation when a doctor requests it. I didn't have commendation. My doctor requested it and said that I needed it. From the time I started helping, my insulin, my health started getting worse, but I refused to stop until everyone got them somewhere to stay. Well, in the last 4 months, I've been put on 4 shots, which I, for 28 years, been on 2 shots of insulin a day, and now I'm on 4. So that's why she wanted someone to come in and stay with me, and they never agreed to it. HUD refused to make them do the right thing, and all this fall back on HUD not doing their job.
Now, you know, it's amazing because, you know, when we had about 3 or 4 meetings later, you know, some people went in the hospital, like Don went in the hospital more than once. He was stressed out about losing his place. He said he didn't have anywhere else to go, and we promised him that he wouldn't lose his place. And then we had the other lady who had cancer. I forgot her name. But you know, we prayed with her and we followed her with her cancer treatments, and she was stressed out because she says, I have to go to chemotherapy and I'm still fighting to keep my place too. And what a battle, you know what I mean?
Yes, it was a battle, and the battle came from them underestimating that you don't just have we might be low income, but we're not stupid.
Well, you know, that's another thing. You're right. So, and guess what? You have rights. And what we did was we exercised our rights by fighting for the cause that was at hand. We exercised our rights. We kept coming to the meetings every Thursday. Matter of fact, from 2012 all the way up to 2014, we had meetings almost every single Thursday. Drove in from L.A., drove in from wherever I was, and I made those meetings, and we fought together to get change. Let's talk about the letter that you sent to Barbara Boxer's office that everybody signed, and could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, after HUD refused to do anything about our letters that we sent, Ms. Dewey was instrumental in getting this information to me about Ms. Boxer. Senator Boxer is on the Housing Committee in Washington. So we sent Ms. Boxer a complaint concerning the matter of the tenants there. And on July 10th, Senator Boxer sent me a letter telling me that she sent to Ray Brewer, the field officer downtown Los Angeles, HUD. She said, Mr. Boxer, Mr. Brewer, enclosed, please find a copy of the correspondence from Senator Boxer receiving from Ms. Odessa Curry Lindsay concerning the matter pertaining to the U.S. Department of HUD. In this letter, she is asking him to send her the paperwork that was sent to their office concerning this matter of the Meadowbrook tenants. And this was done July 10th.
Okay, and not only that, you know, when we had a meeting, I said, you know, I wanted, you know, Carol's on our executive board too, and I had her draw up a letter to send to Washington, D.C., and she did send that letter to Washington, D.C. Now, Senator Boxer is going to, what is she going to do now? Because is she following up with HUD? Is she making sure that HUD is going to do what they're going to do?
Yes. Ms. Rachel, who this letter is actually from, called me on maybe 2 Thursdays ago and told me that what else needs to be done. And I told her that as of now, I'm displaced. I end up getting not evicted, but moved out They showed me a one-bedroom maybe a week before the 13th of August, and I was supposed to be moving to the one-bedroom, and instead of moving me to the one-bedroom, they came and gave me my rent back from May to August and said that they wanted me.
Now, what I want everyone to know out there is that the only two people they really picked on really hard, because it was you and Miss Dewey, and of course they, you know, they knew who I was, so they were like, "Wow!" And I ended up meeting Keith Acton. I ended up, you know, talking with Keith Acton about different things that he was supposed to do around there, and of course he became a very humble man after he found out that we weren't going away, that we were going to be persistent, and that we were going to fight for justice and stand up for justice, and we weren't going to let them steal our joy and put people out. So he thought he was going to win by sending out the letter and putting everybody out without giving them anything. By the time we finished, he had to move everybody over there, and he had to give them each one of them a check for, how much was it, like $600 and some dollars or $700?
Yeah, close to $700. It was like $685 he had to give them, and to move to the units over into the gardens, which was a thing. But what happened is, because me and Miss Dewey, for the last 3 months of everybody moving, they did. They picked on me and Miss Dewey. Me and Miss Dewey are both disabled. I'm in a wheelchair, and Miss Dewey can't have her legs are bad, really bad, and she's disabled in that manner. And they took both of the court, and that's where that HUD failed to do anything about them taking us to court and putting us out.
Now, you know, that's the reason why, that is the reason why we said that we would continue to work on this, and eventually we will hire an attorney or retain an attorney, whether it be pro bono or whatever we have to do, because the only thing that they're going to understand in the end is when we sue the Meadowbrook Apartments, the owner and the manager. And not only that, just here recently when it rained that one day, share with everybody what happened to the people who moved over in the apartments across from the Meadowbrook building.
Well, the young lady that was having problems with them was mentally disabled. Her name is Ms. Timmons. And Ms. Timmons came to me maybe March because she was having a hard time. During that time, I took on the task of being her payee and have been going in, talking with them about everything that's going on with her. Well, she's the one who called me on a Sunday and told me that her roof just caved in and that and it went through, not only in the bedroom, but in the living room and went down to the apartment below. Not only did this happen to her apartment, but it's a four complex apartment building that it happened right there in all four apartments where they live. So
now,
I
apologize for interrupting so abruptly. So I understand it was Miss Carroll, it was the other young lady that you just named, and then two more tenants. It happened to them as well. But
yes.
The part that I want to get to is that the owner of the building, where Keith Acton did not want to assist them and told them that they had to do what they had to do on their own, which they ended up getting in touch with Red Cross, and Red Cross ended up putting them in a hotel for 2 days. And what happened after that? I got a call from Miss Stephanie, and you know, and I told Miss Stephanie that the different things that she could do, like calling HUD, calling the mayor's office, going to city council. And so what has happened since then?
I called on that. It happened Sunday. I called Monday morning to Marquez's office and told her that that I was calling in concern of what happened over the weekend if she didn't know. She said that no one has called her. I said, well, I'm calling for Ms. Timmons because I'm the person who takes care of her business there at the Meadowbrook. And so I told her, I left a message on the voicemail to Ms. Kaylee, and that I was calling her because over the weekend, these people end up getting help from Red Cross, and the Meadowbrook had not put anything in place over the weekend to assist the people. And they only had two more, a day or so, left in the hotel that the Red Cross had paid for them. She got right on it.
And you know what's amazing? I'm so happy that we continue to keep Councilwoman Virginia Marquez. I want to give her a shout out right now. She has been relentlessly assisting us in every way that we have asked. And between the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association, between the executive board for the Meadowbrook Apartments, which we formulated together, and our councilwoman and the councilwoman Virginia Marquez, great things have happened. But now what we have here, because I'm calling Keith Acton like a slumlord, because as far as I'm concerned, first he wanted to just put everybody out in the cold. He found out he couldn't do that. And then he wanted to instead of moving everybody outside the apartments wherever they wanted to go, he ended up moving everybody outside the building over to some apartments on the side, which right now the apartments have went bad when it rained and tore the roof down on these same helpless tenants. So we're still battling them, and until we take them to court in the court of law and sue them for all the wrongs they've done to the handicapped, the disabled, the veterans, and the elderly, which is elderly abuse, and everybody out there that's listening, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show with our special guest, Ms. Odessa Lindsay Curry, and we're talking about what to do when people who own properties want to all of a sudden put you out so they can reestablish their property for financial gain and put you out in the cold because they're building some kind of mall next door. They're building a courtroom across the street, whatever, a court building. You can't do that to innocent people. And that's why we're talking about it today. And I hope that whoever is listening, I hope this is educational to you, especially if you're going through something with your manager or your owners that's not fair to you. You have rights, and you're not going to be able to exercise your rights if you don't study to show yourself approved. So it's really important to find out what your tenant rights are. It's important. And remember what we said in our meeting, Ms. Odessa. I told everybody to hold on to your receipts because they were not giving people receipts. And so I told everybody to make sure they get a money order from the post office or from the bank, a cashier's check, to make sure that they have a receipt for the rent is paid. Can you just talk a little bit about how they were doing that?
Yes, they were. When people come in to pay their rent, they would have to wait a couple of days or a week to get a receipt. I never could understand that. So we instructed all the tenants to always just start putting their money orders into a postal money order from the post office. And that would guarantee that if something happened, they can easily track their money order to whether or not it was paid off to them or not. But these are things that HUD has not addressed in the request that we have sent them, and they continue not to do so, even at this late date with me and Ms. Dewey being taken to court. They refuse to address this matter. But last week, when I talked to Ms. Rachel from Central Box's office, I sent a letter requesting them to get our housing back and to investigate why we don't have housing when we're entitled to it. Either you're going to give me housing there at Meadowbrook or either you're going to pay for where I am. We're entitled to that under the UCR 24.
I feel like by the time we finish going to court and fighting for this, when it's all said and done, each and every person that has been displaced and the instructions that they gave in the documentation for everyone to sign, if those things have not been followed by the T, with HUD, with low-income housing, with Section 8 or whoever, there will be a major lawsuit, and, of course, this will be all over the news. And I don't think that HUD or Section 8 or low-income wants this information to get all over the news. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. They don't want that to happen. But you know what? Here we go.
Well, either we'll stand up for something or we'll fall for everything. So, yes, here we go. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for coming on to the show. We have about 11 more minutes, 10 more minutes to talk about what's going on at the Meadowbrook Department. So what is the next phase from this point for you? Because I know you're going to be fighting this tooth and nail. And, of course, I'm with you. We're all with you. And anybody that's listening, if you have any real love for the handicapped, the disabled, veterans, elderly. I know you feel very sensitive about this topic that we're discussing right now. No one should be put out of their place unfairly. No one should be kicked out of their apartment unfairly. By the way, the Meadowbrook, Miss Odessa, has how many floors?
Has 8 floors.
And your floor, your apartment has the best view in the whole wide world.
Yes, it did. I was in 709 facing the park, and that was wonderful. You could see everything from the 7th floor. It was very wonderful.
I'm just trying to paint a picture to let everybody know the apartment building has very nice views. You can see the mountains, the wind blows. It's beautiful. It's just on a very nice day, even on a rainy day, it's still beautiful. The view is immaculate.
Yes, it is.
And you know, the thing was, is we kept meeting, we kept on fighting, we kept on studying, we kept on getting the paperwork and the documentation to put into place, and now there's only one thing left to do, and that's what we're doing right now. We're talking about it on the radio so everybody out there can hear. What do you do when your owner is trying to put you out illegally? Illegally. Well, you have rights. And we're talking about the Meadowbrook Apartments in the city of San Bernardino. And the owner and chief executive officer is Keith Acton. He's the manager, but I also think he's the owner as well. Because every time I look at him, he's the one making all the decisions on everything that needs to be done. So as we go after the Meadowbrook Apartments owners and Keith Acton, I'm looking forward to seeing a case that will be won. I mean, I worked on another case, and it took 5 years to get it done, but it went to the Supreme Court, and they won. And so I feel like this should go to the Supreme Court as well, because the only way we're going to get – I'm sorry. Go right ahead, Ms. Odessa.
No, I was saying that that's true, and I believe that we are planning to putting a party together, and I think we need to walk in on Mr. Brewer down there at HUD, and let's talk to them, because this don't need to take no 5 years, because you have just placed people that are disabled, and that's not acceptable at all.
Well, no, I mean, you know, when I say 5 years, I'm just talking about not this case right here that we're on right here with the Meadowbrook Apartments, but one particular case that I worked on. We had to battle with the judicial system for 5 years to get some change. But my point is that we were persistent, and we believed in the longevity of the fight. We didn't give up. We didn't give in. You know, we stood in there. And so the same thing with this situation here with the Meadowbrooks. We will fight by any means necessary to get the justice and the equality that every human being deserves that lives in an apartment building or a rented house or anybody that's going through this kind of stuff that you all are going through right now. And most of the people have been moved out, like I said, and they moved them on the other side, and they paid them a check, and they, you know, they did that much. But there's still a lot more that needs to be done, and that's where the executive board will stay on it and keep on fighting for change. Could you please elaborate on anything else that you'd like to share with everybody out there that's listening to the Eddie Jones Talk Show right now?
Yes, I want everyone to know when they're having problems, paperwork is key to everything that you want to end up doing. You know, it's greater later, and greater later meaning you can come to everything that needs to be done for you when you keep paperwork intact. You write it down, get a copy of them, make sure the agency stamp it, and keep your paperwork from the time it starts to the time it ends. And if you have to go to court, you have to show HUD or any government agency or any agency that's helping you fight for you, even legal aid. They want to see something in writing, something that you put in showing that you told them about the problem. Here it is. They stamped it on da-da-da day. You have to keep paperwork. Write it down and show it. You know, that you did put it in. Paperwork is key. Everything in writing must be, everything to prove must be in writing.
Okay. Hey, Ms. Odessa, you are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and everybody out there, this is the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. I think we might have a caller. Let me see here. Hold on a second here. Let's see. Caller, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Jones. How are you? This is Jonathan Bivens calling from Sacramento, California.
Okay. Yes, and you're going to be our special guest on our next show. Is there anything you would like
to
say about what you're
doing? Yes, I have some comments. I have comments regarding Mrs. Odessa's situation and the fact that, good morning, Ms. Odessa, and also the fact that you made a comment regarding contacting the government agencies and so forth. I recall an incident while working for the federal government, which I've spent the last 30 years of my career doing. I can recall there was an incident in Oakland, California, that I worked on. I worked on some apartment units there called the Acorn Housing Project. I don't know if you all are familiar with it. They are right downtown Oakland, right outside of West Oakland. What had happened, Ms. Odessa, you were talking about the government agencies. What had happened, they had allowed tenants to live in rat-infested apartment complexes.
No.
It was a major problem there. It was rat-infested. It was a major problem, drug dealings and everything. We had to go in and clear those apartments out. What I mean by we, the government, I represented the government. We had to clear those units out because when the word got out that then Secretary of HUD, Samuel L. Pierce, was the one in charge, under the Reagan administration, those housing should have been funded, but apparently the money was going somewhere else. My point is this: do not rely on HUD to do anything for you without a fight. You have to go in. You have to make your petition known, and I see you already done that, but you have to stay on it, and you have to have all, as you said, all of the legal documentation together. The only reason that that we got action as quickly as we did on the housing project in Oakland and the housing project in the city of San Francisco, there were two high-rise buildings that had the same similar problem, and it was all minority individuals living in those units. The only way we got some relief of that was to go in, vacate those units, and we didn't put the people out in the street. That's my point. What we did was we moved them to other comparable apartment units that had been painted, carpeted, and so forth, and renovated. We moved them into those units until we could get their particular units cleared up and cleaned up and so forth, cleared of roaches and rats and infestation and so forth. We even went so far, now if you would go to the Acorn Housing Project, I know this because I worked on it. If you go there now, you will find bulletproof lenses on the outside exterior of those apartment complexes due to the fact that the biggest problem was drug dealers shooting them out so that they can make their drug transactions. So I applaud you, Ms. Odessa. Continue the move.
Okay. I thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, Jonathan, I want to thank you for coming on, but you're going to be our next special guest along with Dennis Matthews, so don't go anywhere. We want to keep you on because we're going to start talking about veterans and veterans' fights. So just hang in there. We'll be right back with you, and don't go anywhere, Jonathan. Thank you for your comment.
Yes, sir, Dr. Jones.
Okay, we're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and we're on with Miss Odessa Lindsay Curry, along with the executive board from the Meadowbrook Apartments. We did and are still doing what I might call a very tedious but fabulous job. I want to commend you, Ms. Odessa, for everything that you've been standing up for and everything that you've been fighting for.
Well, I thank you for being a part of rallying us together and being that head and showing us the way. I thank you so much for your participation in this matter.
Well, I got to tell you, Ms. Odessa, I love you, and I love people, and I love life. And either we're going to stand up for something, or we're going to fall for everything. And I just feel like I'm tired of being sick and tired of people just being ran over and abused. And what I want people to know out there is, you know, it's not always about the money. It's about the justice. This don't have nothing to do with money. This has something to do with human beings and life and justice. And so I commend you, Miss Odessa, because, you know, you stood up and you showed out, and we prayed about it. We talked about it. We marched about it. We went to the city council meetings. We did the press conference. Matter of fact, it made the front page of the newspaper, didn't it?
Well, I thank you so much. I would like to read a scripture real quick before I leave the air. To everyone who is being shown injustice on, this is for you. This is Isaiah 30:18. It says, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, and that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait on him. I thank you again.
You're welcome,
Mr. Justin.
God bless you. I want to thank you for coming on. I hope you continue to listen to the show. And, you know, I love you, and God bless, and give all my love to everybody over at the Meadowbrooks, the executive board, and everybody over there. And I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope you continue to listen in.
All right. Thank you. Love you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Love you, too. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Okay. We're going to take a short pause for the cause. Well, we're going to come back, but I have just a little something I want you to listen to from Dr. Martin Luther King, who fought for civil rights, and the Civil Rights Bill was passed in 1965, and here we are in 2014, and we're still fighting for our rights. You know, we've taken the shackles off our hands and feet, but we need to take the shackles off our minds, and we need to come together as a unit and fight for a common cause, and the common cause is justice. So, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. I want you to listen to this, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
About this tragic war. I've chosen to preach about the war in Vietnam today because I agree with Dante that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a period of moral crisis, maintain their neutrality. There comes a time when silence is betrayal. The truth of these words is beyond doubt. But the mission to which they call us is the most difficult one. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war. Nor does the human spirit move without great difficulty. Against all the apathy of conformist thought within one's own bosom, there has never been such a monumental dissent during a war by the American people. Polls reveal that almost 15 million Americans explicitly oppose the war in Vietnam. Additional millions cannot bring themselves around to support it. This reveals that millions have chosen to move beyond the prophesying of smooth patriotism to the high grounds of firm dissent based upon the mandates of conscience and the reading of history. Now, of course, one of the difficulties in speaking out today grows out of the fact that there are those who are seeking to equate dissent with disloyalty. It's a dark day in our nation when high-level authorities will seek to use every method to silence dissent. something is happening and people are not going to be silent. The truth must be told. And I say that those who are seeking to make it appear that anyone who opposes the war in Vietnam is a fool or a traitor or an enemy of our soul is a person who has taken a stand against the best in our tradition. Many persons have questioned me about the wisdom of my past. Why are you speaking about the war, Dr. King?
You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio, and we're going to talk about veterans who have served our country. It doesn't matter if you served in the Marines, the Army, the Air Force, the Coast Guards, the National Guards. If you are a veteran, you have rights. You fought for our country. You stood up for our country. You have rights. Jonathan, are you there?
Yes, and I am a naval veteran. I don't think you mentioned Navy, but I'm a Navy veteran. Yes, I'm here. How are you doing, Dr. Jones?
I'm doing so great. It's so wonderful to have you on. Now, we also have another caller that we're going to bring on. Let's see if we can get him on the line. Matthew, are you there?
Yes, this is Matthew. How are you doing? United States Marine Corps.
Matthew. I'm sorry, say that again.
Dennis Matthews, United States Marine Corps.
All right. Should I say hoorah?
Hoorah!
Okay. So Dennis,
providing information about government contracts.
Okay, great. Now Dennis, meet Jonathan, and Jonathan, meet Dennis.
How you doing,
hey,
Dennis?
Hey, we catch a ride with the Navy all the time to do the war.
All the time. I was talking to someone last week about that. I'm like, okay, as great as you are, try walking on water.
Well, first of all, everybody out there, these are two fine gentlemen that have both served in the military, and they're both veterans. Our first guest is Mr. Jonathan D., and we're going to start off with you, Jonathan. Tell us about what's going on, and then we're going to mosey on over here to you, Dennis Matthews. And let's start with you, Jonathan. Please go right ahead. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Jones, and I'm honored and appreciative of being here on your broadcast on the show. What is going on is unconscionable. We're really not sure why we have such a widespread anarchy against our honorably discharged veteran. In order to be considered a veteran, anything less than an honorable discharge is a discrepancy. In other words, you have to jump through additional hoops in order to get and receive benefits that you are basically entitled to if you have not gotten an honorable discharge. Unfortunately, for a lot of our minority men and women, they did not. Some of them got general discharges. Others received less than honorable. Others received flat-out dishonorable. And even some received undesirables. And one of the veterans that I have spoken with and worked with and so forth, I am actively working on behalf of veterans. currently I am now residing in the city of Sacramento after moving out of Hollywood this past July, July of 2014. So I've been in the Sacramento area for about a month. What I have seen does not reflect a true militaristic balance when it comes down to veterans. Any of the programs that you would find that are available to veterans usually have a certain criteria, a certain a a certain stigma to it. In other words, in order to get into some of these housing programs on the bases and on, you know, places like McClellan or renovated Mather and so forth, those programs, you have to declare yourself either on drugs or alcohol or have some mental disability. I've experienced that myself because I have at one time was homeless when I moved to Southern California, and recently when I moved back to Sacramento, I did not have an apartment complex laid out to move to when I moved back to Sacramento. So virtually for about 2 weeks, I was homeless again. But during that time, I tried several different agencies to assist me. One in particular, the Volunteers of America out at Mather Air Force Base, and others down in Southern California, which is under a different program, a different name and title. What I found is if you cannot declare yourself mentally disabled by way of drug abuse or alcohol abuse or something of that nature, you pretty much are not going to get housed that night.
And now, Jonathan, let me just chime in for a minute. First of all, no veteran, not one veteran in the United States of America should ever be homeless. So my heart goes out to what you had to go through to get to where you are now. But, you know, I am so glad that you stood up and fought that fight. And we're just going to focus on one thing. I want to cut to the chase on something. You have a service dog, right?
Yes, sir, I do. Her name is Casey. It's a rescue from the animal shelter here in the city of Sacramento.
And now, could you just briefly give us a definition of a service dog and what a service dog does for a veteran?
A service animal assists veterans and other individuals in getting through their normal daily routines in life. And that could be from, for instance, a larger dog would be used to pull a wheelchair of a person that may not have their legs and so forth. They are defined as dogs that are individually trained to work to perform tasks for people with disabilities. And the example of some of that work or task include guiding people who are blind, alerting people who are deaf, pulling a wheelchair, alerting and protecting a person who is having a seizure, reminding if a person with mental illness to take prescribed medication. They also calm a person with post-traumatic stress disorder, and that is one of the bigger ones for our returned veteran.
Brother Jonathan, it's amazing that you said post-traumatic stress disorder because last week I talked about mental illness, and I talked about bipolar syndrome, paranoid schizophrenia, and post-traumatic stress disorder, which are three things that a lot of veterans, you know, when you see people get their head blown off, people are crippled, you know, people are hurt in war, when they come home, they're not the same. You know, you get shell shock, Agent Orange, and all kinds of stuff. So just go right ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to stick that in.
No. You're absolutely right. PTSD is a big situation with among our veterans or returning veterans. And one particular brother in particular, when I was in Southern California and I was down on the homeless Skid Row area, I had a chance to meet people. I met the gentleman that you all, I mean, a number of you may have already seen the movie. It's called The Soloist. And it was starring Jamie Foxx and so forth. And this man is
not going to believe this. Jonathan, excuse me for interrupting. You're not going to believe this. I actually met the soloist in person. I actually drove him in my car. I drove him in my car with all of his instruments. I took him to a show where I wanted him to speak at. I had a radio show going at the time, and he was a special guest on my show. And he would not take, he would not go to the show without taking every one of his instruments with him.
Exactly,
He came to the show, and he played for us, and he and I met him. So what a coincidence. I met the soul.
If you go on Los Angeles at Los Angeles Street in downtown Los Angeles, near Skid Row, you might see him sitting there playing his violin. A classical trained musician, a Vietnam, and a veteran, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, because he's in, at the time that I was on Skid Row down there in L.A., he was living in a home, homeless veteran housing, which is down near Skid Row. It was my, although I didn't get selected to be in the movie, a number of individuals in our community down there did get selected to be a part of that movie. That Jamie Foxx came to perform. But I just said that because even right now, based on the comment that you just made, Dr. Jones, no veteran should be homeless. Right here in Sacramento, we have over 7,000 veterans that are homeless.
You're kidding. Not 7,000.
7,000 plus.
Well, on that note, veterans. On that note, Jonathan, I just want to chime in for a minute. We're going to come right back to you. Don't go anywhere. But we're on the phone also with Dennis Matthews, who is a Marine veteran. Dennis Matthews, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Can we just talk a little bit about what you're working on, your project for veterans and for veterans who have served in the military? And, of course, I had the privilege of meeting you when I was in Las Vegas at Sherry Gordy's event, which is the daughter of Barry Gordy, and I met you there, and we had a chance to talk about, you know, at the time you were shooting the show, but you also worked on another project, and I would like for you to share that project with everybody that you're working on for veterans for the United States of America.
Hey, first of all, I would suggest everybody get a pencil to write this number down because it's very important. We're talking about a $4.7 billion project for the Space and Missile Command in Huntsville, Alabama. So I'd like to give everybody a second to get a pencil to write down a phone number that's going to be very important in my discussion. So,
Dennis, excuse me for interrupting you, Dennis. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're not coming in really clear. I don't know if the phone is on speaker or, but it's something is, you're kind of breaking up a little bit. Okay. Can you hear him okay, Jonathan?
He's breaking up as well over here, Dr. Young.
Oh, you know what? I think we've lost him. Okay, we lost him, you guys, but he'll be back. But Jonathan, he's probably gonna call right back. So go ahead on, Jonathan, and until he calls back, let's talk about the incident with you and the service dog, because that's really important, and people need to hear how some people do what they do. And so go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Dr. John. Well, it was an incident that occurred at the Mather Air Force Base, where I go for my medical coverage and see my medical doctor. This particular day, I was wearing a heart monitor. If you go on Facebook under ADVIA, America's Disabled Veterans in Action, there is an article pertaining to this incident where I'm standing there wearing a heart monitor, but I was taken off the shuttle, which is designed to carry veterans from the train station here in Sacramento into the complex where the hospital is located on the former Air Force Base called Mather here in Sacramento. When I had gotten on the bus, shown my ID, gotten a seat, and put on my seatbelt, I was then asked to leave the shuttle by the driver. And the reason being was that I could not provide a letter or documentation to show that the animal, my Casey, was a true service dog. She said, "You have to show me documentation that this is a service dog." I said, "If you would allow me to ride the shuttle into the facility with this heart monitor, I have an appointment at 9:40 this morning to have this thing removed. Allow me the opportunity to ride into the facility, then I can get you the letter that is written to me by my doctor after my request was made that will show you that I am telling you the truth and that the animal is a service animal. One of the documentations based on that information that I received comes from, I believe, the director of that agency, which states, we request that service animals be clearly identified by either a vet or by verbal confirmation of the veteran, which I thoroughly gave to the driver. Yet, I was not allowed to ride into the Mesa complex in order to see to get the Holter monitor removed from my chest and in order to get my medical services provided to me. I was left standing at the train station and alone because I looked around and I looked for the city buses and see if there were any city buses there, and there were none. So I began walking into the Mazer complex alone with my service animal. The one thing that bothered me the most was, and overall, I mean, it was a disheartening event, set of circumstances. But the one thing that I kept that kept going through my mind was, what if I had some real mental issues and felt that I had been singled out by this person and left there deliberately without any consideration whatsoever? That basically was what was happening, but the maliciousness behind it, I couldn't find. I couldn't find the maliciousness behind it. And as I walked, I'm looking at Highway 50. Highway 50 is a major thoroughfare through going towards Tahoe, Reno area, Tahoe at least. And I had to walk across that freeway on the overpass. Had I been mentally unstable to the point that I felt that was my last straw, I could have easily killed myself, jumped off of the freeway based on the treatment that I received by this veteran driver that was supposed to take me to my destination.
Well, now, Jonathan, on that note, now everybody out there, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faith to Success Radio. We're with our special guest, Jonathan B., and also with our guest, Dennis Matthews. Now, Dennis, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, we just heard a story that really touched my heart about Jonathan and his service dog who was refused to get on a veteran bus shuttle because he had his service dog with him, and he wasn't able to ride to his doctor's appointment, and he was wearing a heart monitor. Dennis, how do you feel about that as a veteran? How does that affect you? Could you please chime in on that?
Well, first of all, I want to say that no veteran should not be able to be, discriminated against, riding on any bus. I mean, if it wasn't for the veterans serving our country, we probably wouldn't have buses. We'd probably have been taken over by the Soviet Union or some other country. Either way, I would like to also discuss a major project regarding a $4.7 billion project out of Huntsville, Alabama, that will affect a lot of veterans and help us get some employment. So if I could, I'd like to go into that if possible.
Yes, please go right ahead. And, Jonathan, you stay on the line with us because we're going to come right back to you. But we're going to listen a little bit to Dennis Matthews. You're there, right, Jonathan?
Yes, sir. I'm right here. Go right ahead.
Okay
go ahead. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hello? We've gotten cut off somehow.
Hey!
Malfunction here. I don't know what it was, but I don't know what happened. It just froze, and I had to go through all this to get you guys back. Is everybody there?
Jonathan. This is Jonathan. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Jonathan, you're there. Now, how about Dennis? Dennis, are you there? Well, I don't know. We had a little problem with Dennis, but Dennis, if you can hear me out there, man, God bless you, man, and for coming on, and we'll have to get you back on. You can call back in, and let's see if we can get you back on. Go ahead on, Jonathan, with your story about the veterans, and I apologize to everybody out there. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. We had some sort of malfunction. I don't know what happened, but that's the first time. But anyway, Jonathan, we have you on. Let's talk about what you're talking about, which are the veterans and service dogs and all that good stuff.
All right, Dr. Jones. That happened, so don't be too disturbed by the broadcast cutting off. ADVIA, America's Disabled Veterans in Action, comes on daily at 4 p.m. We've had those types of problems consistently throughout the broadcast. We would have a broadcast on, and all of a sudden we lose three of the four or three of the seven people on the air, and only two of them would be talking to one another, and the other six couldn't hear what was going on, et cetera. So that happens on that on the Blog Talk area. But as I was stating, service animals do a number of services, provide a number of services. The PTSD is one of them. They also help in allergies and fear, in detecting allergies. For instance, if a person is allergic to peanuts, then that dog will be able to sniff out that particular allergy on that individual, incredible as it may seem. And also there are certain things with regards to this service animal under the America's Disabilities Act, which is a part of the, disability requirements. There are certain things you can and cannot do for against a person with a service animal. They perform other duties. First of all, you can't ask a person what service. You have to be very limited. Let me share with you about some of the things that you are allowed to ask and some of the things that you are not allowed to ask. Under the American Disabilities Act, state and local governments, businesses, and nonprofit organizations that have publicly generally not that serve the public, generally must allow service animals to accompany people with disabilities in all areas of the facility where the public is normally allowed to go. Since I've been in Sacramento, our state capital for the state of California, I've been thrown out of businesses, I've been cursed out at businesses, and I've been even offered the derriere of one of the proprietors to kiss so that I would not come into his facility with this service dog. And I did not know that the mindset of individuals in businesses, especially in little small bistros and restaurants and so forth, I did not know that the mindset was as stoic and as solid against service animals as I found in our nation, in our state capital. Maybe it was just me. I'm a real tall guy, so maybe they couldn't deal with the fact that I was 6'2". But in any event, I was told to leave the premises with the animal. Since that has occurred, I've contacted the health department in the city of Sacramento, and no one returned my phone call from that. Well, I take that back. One person did return the phone call, but no one followed up on that phone call after it was returned to me. And I've made several attempts to meet with one of the health officials to meet me at the facility out there in downtown Sacramento. Today, nothing has happened. And this incident occurred way back in June, I believe it was, June or July. I have to get those dates together. But in any event, a service animal provides a number of varied services. One of the problems that you have as a service animal owner or as an individual being serviced by this animal, you have individuals that look at you and they don't see what the animal is serving you for. First of all, it's none of their business.
Yes, well, you know, Jonathan, it's amazing that you say that because, you know, if a veteran, and you are a veteran, or any veteran has a service dog, first of all, people should respect the fact, and they don't even know, they don't know if you have post-traumatic stress, they don't know if you have a disability, but you wouldn't have a service dog if you didn't need one.
If you didn't, exactly. Exactly, because it is considered a prosthesis, Dr. Jones. It's as important as a wheelchair, a set of crutches, a platform for an individual to put a skateboard platform that they put their body on when they no longer have legs to rely on and roll themselves. It's a prosthesis that serious. So when you have a person with a service animal, or you have a person with a prosthesis, let's put it on that level, you don't ask the person to get up out of their wheelchair and leave the wheelchair outside so you can come in and patronize their business. So why would you ask a person with a prosthesis service dog to leave the service dog out so you can come in and spend money at their businesses, but you have to leave your animal outside? That's not correct. That's unconscionable. I don't understand how business owners have survived this long using that type of practice.
Well, let me ask you a question now. Now, let's talk about, Jonathan, what avenues do people who have service dogs or people that are veterans who need help and assistance and whether it's living or surviving, do you think that we should be going up to talk to Michelle and Barack Obama about the problem that veterans are going through, not only back, 20 years ago, but even right now in 2014?
Well, that's an excellent question, Dr. Jones. What we are doing, rather than taking it up to the national level, we're trying to educate the public about service animals. My service animal, Casey, and I have traversed a large portion of the city of Sacramento. On almost any given day, you could see me and this dog walking down the streets, up and down the streets of Sacramento, South Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles, out in the Mather area, all over. We're walking through the community and we're walking through the neighborhood. And we deliberately go into businesses like Walmart, like Macy's. We go into those facilities because why? We want to let them know that service animals are here to stay. And your biased opinion about service animals or what constitutes a service animal in your opinion is not your grandmother's service animal anymore, folks. These
right.
are service animals that provide a different and unique type of services to our veterans and to other individuals that are disabled. And it shouldn't be a question anyway because disability events are covered under the Jesse M. Unruh Act, the Act of Disability, and also it constitutes a means for this individual to be recognized. Service animals are not your large, are not always your large 250-pound shepherds or labs and so forth. Nowadays,
Brother Jonathan, I don't mean to interrupt you, but could you hold on 1 minute? I'm having some technical difficulties here again. Just hold on 1 moment. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Just take a break, short pause for the cause, and listen to this wonderful song by Marvin Gaye. It's called Get to This, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Girl, you can't wait too long. Technical difficulties. Somebody doesn't want the word to get out about the veterans. And guess what, people? Things like this do happen. But we're going to keep on fighting. We're going to keep on standing up. We're going to keep on talking. And you're live on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faceless Success Radio. Thank you for bearing with the technical difficulties. First of all, Jonathan B., are you still there?
I am here.
Okay, Dennis Matthew, you're here.
Yes, I am. Hoorah.
Okay, hoorah. Okay. Somebody doesn't want everybody to hear this good news about veterans, right? And
that's
so
true.
While we still have time, we have 20 more minutes. Dennis, please chime in and tell everybody about what's going on with you and your veterans, and Jonathan will be right back with you. Keep on hanging
on. No problem.
Stay with us, Jonathan. Go ahead, Dennis.
No problem.
All right, I want to talk about a $4.7 billion project that all veterans are entitled to. I fought very hard to get this into this particular project set aside for service-disabled veterans. It is a set-aside from out of Huntsville, Alabama, Space and Missile Command, amount of $503 million. We bidded a contract back in December 18th, and our contract was submitted. And our bid was rejected for font size. That's the letters that you write size. It should have been 10-inch, and it was 11. Either way, we are now protesting this contract. We have filed a federal lawsuit in Los Angeles federal court, Dennis Matthews versus the Space and Missile Command. The space, the actual court sent me back a letter a couple of weeks ago saying that Dennis Matthews cannot sue the federal government. It's a futile effort. Therefore, we did a press release. We also contacted Congressman Hack, Joe Hack in Las Vegas, which I currently reside. He's over the 3rd District. We are trying to get his office to actually look into this particular situation. We also contacted civil rights leader John Lewis of Georgia. He referred me back to our representative, Congressman Joe J. Hack, because I'm not located in his district. So I am and have fought for the United States veterans. I led the first veterans law out of the state of California. It became a law by signing to act by Bush. One of the laws was called 108-183. It was established for services able veterans, which states that veterans will be given a set-aside on all federal contracts where only veterans could bid. Also, it enacts that a veteran can sole source a product through the federal government without a bid for $5 million products and $3 million services. In addition, it requires big contractors like Boeing, Lockheed, Raytheon, and other prime contractors must give 3% of their contract to services labor veterans. Going back to this project, it is called D3I. You can go on the internet and type in the letter D, the number 3I, and you can find out all about this contract. I would request that everyone get a pencil and write this number down to Melissa Mitchell. And her phone number is 256-955-5946. She is the contracting officer over this project.
So, Dennis, could you repeat that? Could you repeat that phone number again, please?
Please call Melissa Mitchell. The phone number is 256-955-5946. That's 256-955-5946. Call her to be involved in this project. It's not too late. And you don't have to be a major technical person. They need everything from pencils to paper to janitorial service in this project. If you call and voice your opinion that this contract should be continuously to be awarded to veterans and minorities, call her directly. That is the number to the Space and Missile Command in Huntsville, Alabama. And as you know, Martin Luther King fought hard in Birmingham, Alabama, in order to give us our civil rights and things we have to vote. This project is a cornerstone of Huntsville and racism that the veterans and minorities have not been fully aware of. And so I'm saying that if you want a job right now for your family, for your kids, all you have to do is pick up the phone and then register your business in any state. Most of them have a DBA where you can pay for $35, get a fictitious business name, and then just go to Dunn and register that fictitious business name and tax ID, and you can become part of the federal contracting of the United States government. So I led this bill in California to make sure all veterans get a part of government contracts. So please take the initiative. Get up off your butt, get in there, and actually call this number. The contract number, write this contract number down. It is W9113M-13-R0011. It is the biggest contract in United States history. Again, it's to build a defense shield using technology to defend against weapons of mass destruction. We as veterans and minorities should have been aware of this contract. We should be a part of this contract. I don't care where you live in the United States of America, you should get a piece of this contract. As a woman-owned business, as a minority-owned business, as a veteran-owned business, you must and you should look out for your own family by getting a part of this contract. Again, the project is called D3I.
Okay, Dennis, we have the contract number, but you gave out another number, which was a W-911. Could you tell us what that number is and give us that number again?
Okay, in order to be a part of this contract, you assign a contract number, and they call it an RFP number. This RFP number is W-9113-M-13-R-001. Okay? Also, you can go to my website, okay.
Dennis, before you say that, let me repeat this back. The contract is called RMP, and it's W-9113-M-13-R-001. Is that right?
That is correct. That is the set-aside contract for veterans, and they have also set aside for minorities and disabled veterans. We, at least I personally went to Huntsville, Alabama, three or four times and talked with the contracting officer, being able to try to get the veterans and push the veterans in, which I was very successful to get the veterans in there. But my contract was initially rejected because of the actual text five, which should have been a 10, and it was 11. And that was done because I am blind in my right eye. And I am now protesting this contract. I am protesting and have filed in the United States Federal Court in Los Angeles about this contract. Dennis Matthews versus the State Significant
Commission
for Blind.
Okay, now Dennis, when I was there in Vegas at Ms. Gordy's event there, I did an interview with you. Could you talk a little bit about the interview? Because it has something to do with your fight for veterans with the contract. Could you just elaborate on that a little bit for the listeners out there?
Yes, my company does live streaming also here in Las Vegas with Sherry Gordy's Present Show every Thursday night. And I met Eddie Jones for Justice and Civil Rights at this event. He took the time, which is very unusual, a very outstanding man. Took the time to sit down with me while the event was going on and talk to me about veterans and what I'm going through as a veteran. And I was so enraged about being rejected after almost 3 years of this contract. And Eddie said that he would help me fight through the civil rights. And based on that, I filed a civil rights federal contract, in federal court against the Space Municipal Command under civil rights.
Now Dennis, all the information that you're giving is so wonderful and appropriate. You and Jonathan are giving us some really good information. Now, what a lot of people don't know out there is that I, too, am a veteran. I served in the United States Army. I am a veteran. And so this is this pertains to me and my family as well. It pertains to every veteran out there and your family as well. I hope you are listening. I know this is not falling on deaf ears because veterans have rights. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show with two very wonderful, intelligent guests who's very informative on what veterans' rights are. We're listening to Mr. Dennis Matthews, and we're listening to Jonathan B. Jonathan, are you there?
I am here, and I have a question for Mr. Matthews, if I could, at your convenience.
Yes, but it's amazing. Yeah, I want you to ask that question, Jonathan, but it's amazing that, Jonathan, you too work for the government, and you analyze and evaluated contracts. And so when I hear Dennis and you two never met before, and then I hear you, Jonathan, we all three need to be working together on doing what we're doing. So go right ahead with your question, Jonathan.
Okay, Mr. Matthews, very, very informative, very good information. I had not heard about this project. I've worked in contracting for the last 30 years with the federal government, all the way from the Small Business Administration to Hughes Aircraft to the Los Angeles Air Force Station. My question is, does this contract require the contractor or the bidder to be certified through the Small Business Administration?
No, it doesn't. This contract, especially this particular one, I led the first draft to ensure that veterans and minorities get into this contract. So, no, all you have to do is register your business in SAMS. And as you know, you get a basic DBA and name and get a tax ID and get a DUNS number, you can register in SAMS, SAMS.gov. Once you register in SAMS.gov, you do not have to be a certified small business. You have to be a certified veteran-owned business. You can actually state that you are certified, that you are a disabled veteran-owned business. As long as you control 51% of the company, you can bid federal contracts. And one of the contracts right now is D3I. I personally have won probably about 24 federal contracts. I won FAA, the Pentagon, the White Sands Nuclear Facility, Langley Air Force Base, VA, and also many other ones, myself personally. And I have led in the avenue of getting paid quickly for veterans within 21 days. Small business can be paid within 21 days. I personally got with the federal government and ensured that electronic transfer would happen for small business. Okay.
Right.
Yes, Jonathan and Dennis, we have about 7 minutes left. I'm going to give the first 2 minutes to you, Dennis, to finish off what you're saying, and then we're going to go back over to Jonathan, and I'm going to close out with a short message to the people that are listening to the show. Dennis, go right ahead.
First of all, I want you to write down my website because we're doing Wednesday, we're doing the United Nations Association of Pasadena, a live webcast. And I'm going to go into this again for veterans. So I want you to write down live, L-I-V-E, streamers, streamers.com. Right now we are live, as I'm talking to you, on our website, livestreamers.com. Which goes to 142 countries, and we are going to continue to fight for veterans. I am located in Las Vegas. My phone number is 949-394-3221, and that website, again, is livestreamers.com. That is livestreamers with a S.com. And please, if you don't get anything else out of this, your family – someone in your family have fought for this country and is disabled veteran and also are entitled and deserve this contract. My name is Dennis Matthews. Contact me anytime, day or night, 949-394-3221. Get this contract so your kids can have a future.
Well, Dennis, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And, you know, I'm going to touch bases back with you later on off the air. But I want to thank you so much for coming on, very much.
Thank you. Hoorah.
And, okay, I'm going to talk with you a little bit later, Dennis. And we're going to chime in. We want to thank our special guest, Mr. Dennis Matthews, who is an ex-Marine veteran, for coming on our show. And we want to continue with our show here. And we're going to just chime out with Mr. Jonathan B. Jonathan, are you there?
I am here, yes. And okay. Thank you for the opportunity of being on your broadcast.
You're welcome. Go right ahead, Jonathan. Do you have some closing remarks you want to share with everybody?
Well, I just wanted to say, with regards to veterans and service animals, please allow us the space to grow and to live and to exercise that privilege of being cared for by our service animals. You don't need to know what the service animal is, what type of service the animal is providing to the veteran. That is none of your concern. This is why we have medical doctors to write the script for us to get the service animal. We have individuals we can consult with on what our issues and our problems are, so we don't need to explain it to you again. As a general public, please allow us the opportunity to operate without having to give you explanation as to why we exist with the service animal in your presence. So that's all I wanted to say, Dr. Jones.
Okay, well, Jonathan B., I want to thank you for coming on, and I want to thank our special guest, Ms. Odessa Curry. Earlier we talked about eminent domain, and, you know, I want to also thank Mr. Dennis Matthews for coming on. You all were wonderful, fabulous. We had a few technical difficulties, which are to be expected, but overall, it was a great discussion. Thank you for coming on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Jonathan.
Thank you, sir.
All right. You have a good day, and I will be in touch with you real soon.
Very well. Thank you, sir.
All right.
And Mr.
All right.
Matthews
God bless.
As well.
All right.
Thank
God
you.
Bless.
God bless. All right. God bless.
Okay. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio. It was a wonderful show. We talked about people that were being displaced from their apartments and what to do and how to fight for justice and what to do so you won't be kicked out, how to even get paid for what they were trying to do to you and turning the whole thing around. And we also talked about veterans, of which anyone who has served in the military in the United States of America that is that has an honorable discharge as a veteran has a right to all rights that a veteran has. I can't go over them all. All I can say is you do have rights. There are contracts available. You don't have to be homeless. You don't have to be lonely. If you're going through post-traumatic stress or whatever you might be going through, you can get help. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and I just want to say God bless everybody out there that's listening to the show. All my friends from, again, from Dorsey, all my friends in Ballin Hills, Los Angeles, and wherever you are, Texas, wherever you are listening to the show, I'm going to take you out with this right here. And remember never to forget, the only limit in life is the one that we put on ourselves, so let there be no limits, okay? And whatever you do, don't let anybody steal your joy. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio. I want to take you out with my favorite girl, Miss Angie Stone. God bless you all. Keep your head up. And God is the reason for the season. Peace out. I'll talk to you next Monday. Be safe.
Is my king, is my one, yes, he's my father, yes, he's my son, I can talk to him, cause he understands everything I go through, and everything I am, my support system, can't live without him, the best thing since sliced bread, is his kiss, his hug, his lips, his touch, and I just want the whole world to know about my life.
No, no, no.